All right, well, good morning. My name is Darren Koenig, and it is great to be back here at Fellowship Church at Plum Creek. And if you have your Bibles or your Bible app, I ask that you open it to Matthew chapter 14. The last time I was here, I mentioned that I was a graduate of the University of Mary Hardin Baylor. And while I was there, my major was sociology. That's a fancy word for saying I like to study people. I like to observe culture and society, and it's fascinating to me to watch people. And one thing I've learned in all my years of watching people and observing society is that every group of people or group of friends has that one person in it. You know who I'm talking about? That one person. If you're here this morning, you have that one friend. They're the crazy one. They're the ones, it may be you, I don't know, but they're the ones that challenge you. They want you to go higher, go faster, climb the bigger mountain, right? You know who I'm talking about? Do you have that friend? Who has that friend? I know I do. I do. Everybody's got one of those friends, right? Growing up in the Corpus area, I had one of those friends. He was in our group of friends that all hung out together, and his name was John. I'm going to introduce you to John this morning. His picture's on the screen behind me. That's John. He's still crazy. He's still that guy. And, you know, John has carried his love of being around the ocean and being around the water and being that kind of crazy guy into a full-time career in underwater photography. And I want to share a couple of pictures that John has taken recently. That's one of John's pictures that he took not too long ago. See, John lives in Miami area now, and he's an underwater photographer who photographs people on shark dives. That's not for me, all right? Not my cup of tea. But if any of you ever watch, like, Discovery, Animal Planet, A&E, and shows like that, there's this show called Gator Boys. A couple of months ago, John got to be with the Gator Boys, and he actually got to swim with the gators. Again, not for me. But... you know, we always have that one person in our life who likes to challenge us. As the video a minute ago showed, today I want to challenge us to become a dangerous church. I want to challenge us this morning to become a dangerous church. You know, because that one friend in our life who pushes us, who challenges us, who wants us to go higher and faster and further, that person really sets the tone of our life, don't they? You know, when we're around that person, we do things we never thought were possible. We do things that we never thought we could do. Sometimes those people are good for us, but sometimes they're also bad. But that's not what we're going to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the good part. You see, that person challenges us to be bold. To be bold. And if you're taking notes, that's number one. Be bold. And in Matthew chapter 14... we're going to take a look at how we can be bold. The first way that the Bible is going to show us this morning that we have to be bold is we have to be bold with people. You know, recently, this past week in the city of Houston, we saw this lived out, didn't we? If you've been paying attention to the news, you saw a group of pastors who were challenged. Religious liberty was challenged this week in the city of Houston. And we saw some people who had to be bold. They had to stand up and be bold for the gospel. Look at Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 16. To give you the backstory, Jesus has been preaching and teaching to the crowds all day long. And the disciples come to him and say, "Hey, it's getting late. It's dinner time. People are getting hungry." Look at what Jesus says. But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. They picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. And there were about 5,000 men who ate, besides women and children. Look at verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of them to the other side while he sent the crowds away. You see, Jesus was bold with the people. Jesus did not hesitate to do what was necessary for those around him. He didn't even think twice about it, did he? He said, no, they don't need to go away. We're going to take care of this right now. You see, to become a dangerous church, to become a church that really has a global impact, that impacts the world around us, we have to be bold. We have to be a bold people. And we have to be bold with people. See, one of the biggest barriers that the church has is being timid, is being fearful. I don't know if I should go talk to that person. What if they don't like what I have to say? You see, Jesus didn't care what people had to say. He did what he had to do. He was bold with people. Next thing we see is that Jesus was bold with God. He was bold with God. Look at verse 23. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. You see, Jesus went before the Father. He was bold not only with people, but he was bold with the Father. He knew that he could go before the throne and have that time alone with God. Jesus was bold with the Father. Romans 8, 34 and 35 says this, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? You see, we can be bold with God. The Bible tells us right here in Romans 8, 34 and 35, look at that, that Jesus is interceding for us. He is praying for us. That's power right there. If that doesn't get you excited, we need to check your pulse. Because Jesus is praying and interceding for us. We can be bold with God. And if we're going to impact the world, we have to be bold with people and bold with God. Philippians 2 says this, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. You see, Jesus knew that he had to be bold with people and bold with God. And if we're going to be a dangerous church, if we're going to have an impact, we have to be bold with people and bold with God. But more importantly, we have to be bold with our mission. You see, Jesus was never deterred. Look at verses 24 and 25. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. You see, right there, we see that Jesus was focused on the mission. He was bold with people. He was bold with God, and he was bold with his mission. He didn't let anything stop him. Now, to give you the definition of the fourth watch of the night, that's sometime between 3 and 6 a.m. That's early. My full-time job, I'm a manager for Starbucks. I'm the opening manager for Starbucks. And I go to work. We have to open at 4:30 in the morning. I go to work at 4:30. I'm at work at 4:30 in the morning. That's early. It's great because I don't have to deal with traffic. When I go to work, there's no one else on the road unless I happen to see a police officer. And that's rare because normally they're at Starbucks waiting on me to get there so they can have coffee. But Jesus was focused on the mission. He didn't let anything stop him. He was there alone. He had been ministering to the people. He had been bold. He had been reaching out to the world around him. Then he went and got alone with God. And then he was focused on the mission. He could have easily stopped the story right there and said, it's 3 a.m. I was out all day. Now I've been doing my quiet time. I've been getting recharged. And I'm tired. I'm going to take a nap. And then I'll catch up with those guys tomorrow morning. But that's not what he did. The Bible said he immediately went to them. He immediately went to them. How many parents do I have here this morning? Lots. I love it. Kids are a blessing, aren't they? Isn't it fun to watch your kids grow up and to develop as people? You know, they start out, they're real little, and then they get older, and we get to see them come into their own with their friends, and they become bold with people. They get a little more confidence. I don't know if you can tell, my voice is a little hoarse this morning because my son, I've got to watch him grow up. You know, when he was little, now he's a little older, I watched him develop. And so I'm hoarse because he had a football game yesterday and I'm pretty proud of him. Yeah, he's the starting middle linebacker on his football team. And in the last three games, he's had 21 tackles. He's really developed and become bold. But when he was little, before he had that boldness and that confidence with other people and with his relationship with Christ, he's not afraid to share the gospel. He tells his teammates all the time, you can come to church with me. But when he was little, he wasn't that bold. In fact, when he was little, he wanted to be Spider-Man. And then he got a little older and he wanted to be a pirate because pirates were really cool. They were kind of dangerous and really cool. But now he's come into his own. My girls, my little girls, 7 and 9, they've always wanted to be princesses. How many of your kids like to play dress up, like to be a superhero or a princess? Yeah. Why? Because as we're going to see, we want to be extraordinary, right? Every superhero is extraordinary. They do amazing things. And we want to live a life that is extraordinary. We want to be extraordinary. There's two ways we should be extraordinary that the Bible shows us right here. First, we have to be extraordinary in private. Let's finish verse 25. Jesus was all alone. He had been on his own with God, the Father. And then he's focused on the mission and he heads back out. And what does the Bible tell us? In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. How? Walking on the sea. There's nobody around to see him and be amazed. He did what he had to do. You see, Jesus's life was extraordinary all the time. Jesus lived an extraordinary life privately and publicly. And that's the second way we should live. We should be extraordinary when no one else is around, but we should also be extraordinary when everyone is looking at us. Look at verse 26. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. This is one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. And so many sermons are preached about how Peter didn't have faith. Guess what? There was at least 11 other guys sitting in that boat who didn't get out of the boat. Peter was extraordinary because he got out of the boat. You see, when Jesus lived his life in an extraordinary way in private, and it carried over and was lived the same exact way in public, it affected those around him. It made them raise their game to the next level. How many times do you think those 11 other guys throughout the rest of their lives thought about that moment and said, "Man, I should have gotten out of the boat. Man, I had an opportunity. Had this moment in time." You see, God calls us to be extraordinary to the world around us. Jesus came to be extraordinary. He came to change the world. You know, one thing I learned as Dalton was growing up and getting older, he loved superheroes. He loved comic books. You know one thing about that? Every superhero had a messy background that led them to do something extraordinary. Spider-Man was an orphan. His uncle was murdered. Superman, his entire planet blew up. Batman became Batman after his parents were murdered. They all had this messy background. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, man, I'm too messed up to be extraordinary. Guess what? No, you're not. Peter was probably the first documented case that we have in history of being ADHD. And look at what God did through him. I love Peter. He's that guy. Always sticking his foot in his mouth. Always challenging the status quo. Always wanting to do something extraordinary. You see, if we're going to be a dangerous church and we're going to impact the world around us, we have to be bold. We have to live extraordinary lives in private and in public. When the doors are closed and no one's around, we have to be extraordinary before God. When we're out in the world and there are those around us being challenging religious liberty, you know, I had to take a hiatus from social media this week for my own sanity, because everything on Facebook and social media was ISIS, Ebola, and religious liberty. Guess what? Yeah, those things are scary. Those things need to be addressed. But you know what? I had to pull back and take time myself for me to be alone with God. That's not a judgment on anybody who is on social media. That's what I had to do. That's what God led me to do. But guess what? We have to live extraordinary lives to be life-changing. You know, if we're going to be the change, we have to be life-changing. We have to live our lives boldly, extraordinarily, and be life-changing. And to be life-changing, we have to step out. What did Peter do? He got out of the boat. He stepped out. And then what happens? Then we have to step up. Not only do we have to step out, but we have to step up. Look at verse 30. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. You see, not only do we have to step out of the boat, but we need to step up into the arms of Christ. We need to devote ourselves to serving Christ and step up into his rescuing arms, because life is messy, isn't it? Things get hard. We lose jobs. We lose friends. Teenagers enjoy it now. This is as easy as it gets. It only gets harder from here, I promise. But you know what? You can live an extraordinary life through Jesus Christ if you just step out of the boat. Because God wants you to do something amazing. God wants you to be a dangerous church. God wants you to impact the world around you. That's what he's called us to do. Hebrews 12 says it this way, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." See, Jesus wants us to step out of the boat and step up to him. What does it say? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And then he wants us to step through. Look at verse 33. "And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'You are certainly God's son.' When they crossed over, they came to the land Gennesaret, And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent word into all that surrounding district and brought to him all who were sick. And they implored him that he might just touch the fringe of his cloak. And as many as touched it were cured. You see, Jesus was bold with his life. He was extraordinary, and he was life-changing. And that's what he's called us to do. But too many times, we don't step through the barriers of life. We don't step through the hard times. We allow ourselves to get bogged down. We allow ourselves to get tangled up with regret, with fear, with the daily grind. But Jesus wants us to step through. The Bible tells us all about it. Watch this video.
Poets have said the ocean has no memory. Maybe that's what draws us to its shores.
Because we all have things in our past we'd like to forget.
The mistakes I've made that cause pain, I could have done without. All my selfish thoughts, all my pride, the things I
sometimes the guilt comes in like waves, and we can't forgive. Guilt from past mistakes. Guilt from past failures.
Guilt for my sins.
Times when we feel like we're sinking in a sea of regret.
Regret for time lost.
Regret for relationships lost. Regret for integrity lost.
Regret for innocence lost.
Take our regret to God. He sends his refreshing rain
to wash away our sin.
If we confess our sins,
he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin
and cleanse us from every wrong. He opens up the heavens and rains down drops of forgiveness. Those drops of forgiveness turn into a river of forgiveness. This river of forgiveness flows into an ocean of forgiveness.
And he sinks our guilt into the depths of the ocean.
You know, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Micah 7, 18 and 19. And it says, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You see, God wants us to be a dangerous church. He wants us to challenge the world around us to greater things. He wants us to become bold people, willing to live extraordinary lives and change the world around us. And if we simply trust in Him and place our faith in Him and live our lives completely focused on Him, He will impact the world around us. And we will become a dangerous church. You know, this morning as we close our time together, as John and the band come to play, I want to challenge you. Are you going to live your life like Peter? Or are you going to be one of the 11 other guys that were sitting in the boat? What is God calling you to do today? What kind of extraordinary thing is He calling you to do? The mess doesn't matter. In fact, the video earlier said Jesus came to get messy. He came to do amazing things. He was the original superhero. I ask that you bow your head. Just bow with me. Because God's doing something amazing through Fellowship Church. God wants to impact the world and make us a dangerous church. Not dangerous in the normal sense of the word, but spiritually dangerous. He's calling us this morning to do incredible things. But we let fear, regret, we let so many things get in the way. This morning, as John and the band are here, just ask God to strip that away and bury it on the ocean floor. Seek His face and find what He's calling you to do, to live an extraordinary life.